Hello, everyone. Welcome to Financeology 101. Class is now in session. The information provided during this podcast is just that, information. You will need to do further research to address your specific situation. Enjoy the session.
Welcome, everyone, to another session of Gifted Generations Presents Financeology 101. I'm one of your hosts, Robin Sears, and my husband, Elroy Sears, is your other host.
All right, it's your boy, Elroy. All right, let's get this thing started.
Okay, and this session, we'll be talking about refinancing your mortgage. And, of course, as usual, we have our residential financial guru, Ms. Tina Smith. Let me tell y'all about her. She is the president of the Financial Tea Coaching and Consulting Firm. She's a financial coach. She's a financial mentor. She's an investment broker. She's certified in all 50 states and overseas. She's all that and a bag of chips. And she has written a book, and it's called It's Your Turn, Walk in Your Financial Purpose. Let's welcome Ms. Tina Smith.
Hey, in the building. Boy, you sounded like a million people right there, Elroy. Wow, I need to take you on the road with me.
I've been practicing, girl.
I see.
Oh, wow. Okay, so, go ahead, Robin.
Once again, welcome, Tina. It's nice to talk to you again. And here's get some financial tea from you.
You know it. And every time I'm spilling that tea, it be sweet.
Sweet tea.
Yes, it is.
That sweet tea. That's right.
You get the shivers.
Yeah, and if you know me, you know I like the kind that give you that diabetes.
That's yeah. It's that sweet too. It's the real good stuff where your pinky gets to stick out.
Right. And then you go back home and wonder, did I even drink water today? Because I am mighty parched. That's the kind of sweet tea I like. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So jump right in there. So I know we think we know what refinancing your mortgage means, but tell us your professional definition or interpretation of refinancing your mortgage.
Okay, great. And again, guys, you know, all jokes aside, thank you so much again for having me. As always, I really enjoy being a part of your show and allowing the listeners to be educated even the more in an objective way so that they can, you know, go on and take some of these nuggets and really start building wealth, you know, on their own. So thank you again, guys, for having me. If it's okay, I'd like to give a professional and personal point of view concerning financing.
Okay.
So from a professional view, just by basic definition, refinancing your home is an opportunity for you to adjust the terms of your current loan, and you're able to renew the loan in its entirety in a way that allows you another 30-year mortgage or 15 or 20, whichever you decide, but allows you something that could potentially be more advantageous to you, or even something that may cost you less, not just for today, but over the long term. Now, from a personal standpoint, I'd like to explain that long definition I just provided. So I remember when my husband and I purchased our current residence in 2011. 2010 was when we were looking at building the home that we currently reside in. And at that point, we had to almost, if you will, pre-qualify for our mortgage, to where the preferred lender had a lot of questions and they were able to kind of pre-qualify us to move forward to getting our home built. Now, naturally, the mortgage wasn't finally approved until the end at closing, but there were some points in the meantime where they made sure that we were able to afford the house that we were building. I say all that to say it's important before you go into refinancing to make sure that your credit is A1. So when we started the building process, I think we got a decent rate. After a while, though, I'd say maybe about a year, 2 years, possibly, the mortgage rate started to go down. And so we were like, our credit is still really good. And actually, it went up a little bit because we opened a mortgage debt and we have been making payments on time, the whole time, every time, which is very important. Because you miss a payment, and if you've ever missed a payment on anything credit-wise, you know that they are quick to report that, and your credit score will plummet. It's a shame that one mistake, it doesn't always have to be that you couldn't afford it. Maybe you just forgot. That's happened to me before. I just plumb forgot a particular bill. But all in all, we decided to explore the opportunity to refinance. So why did we even look at it? Well, we thought, well, you know, maybe there's an opportunity for us to lower our payment. And if we, if the conditions are right, we'll be able to refinance our home to a lower interest rate, which would then lower our monthly payments, which then also would lower our overall payments to, you know, towards paying off the house in its entirety. So to us, you know, it was a win-win. We decided to refinance and we ended up saving $100 per month. That may not sound like a whole lot to some people, but to us, it was a whole lot. So we decided to refinance. Then interest rates continued to drop. So in like another 6 months, I believe it was, it wasn't very far after that, another 6 months, we refinanced again. So if you didn't know, before, you can refinance your home multiple times if the conditions are right. So we refinanced again and we saved another $100. So over a 2.5 or 3 year time span, our mortgage dropped $200. So to us, maybe that was our light bill. Maybe that was our gas bill. Maybe that was money to put gas in our car. Maybe that was the phone bill, but that allowed us a little bit more wiggle and freedom, you know, even to pay off more debt. It allowed us a little bit of freedom so that we could move forward. So that's, you know, our testimony in being able to refinance our home.
So that's your question, Dan. So I know refinances, it does depend on your situation. And if you're trying to, you know, make ends meet, you know, I'm definitely on board with that. But what is the long-term impact? You know, because is there a cost that you have to incur, or do they roll up the cost into the bulk of the loan I mean, is it a refinancing fee that comes with that? Sometimes it depends on who you're with. What is the impact to the cost? So you're doing that each and every time. Is there anything that can be hidden fees?
That's a great question. So it does depend upon who you're with. What I tell clients, who pay for this information, by the way. But what I tell clients is
free. Everybody listen up. Free.
What I tell clients is that if first thing you want to do is start off with your current mortgage lender. Normally, with your current mortgage lender, there is no closing costs. So when we started off with our mortgage lender, we ended up paying like $100. Maybe it was $20 the first time, and maybe it was $19 the first time, and then $100 the second time. But we stayed with our mortgage company, so we didn't have to redo a whole lot of documents, and so it saved us a lot of money, you know, to close. Now, if we decided to go with another company, then a whole new loan would be done, and closing costs would go along with that. So depending upon how much your home is, let's say a $300,000 home, you may be looking at an additional maybe $3,500, maybe to $5,500. So you want to, you know, investigate thoroughly not only what you'll be paying, you know, monthly, but what are you paying at closing? That's money you got to come up with right now. That's not a, hey, let me get to y'all next month. You're not closing without those dollars. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It does. So are you looking at, when you're doing that kind of thing, what should someone look at? Should they look at the interest rate, or should they look at the dollar amount, or should it be a combination of both? You know, because if, let's say you had your house for 10 years and you refinance, that's going to be a huge savings, you know, for putting 10 years into to the mortgage, paying for the mortgage. And you may end up paying, you know, let's say maybe $300 less, but you can do that with the exact same mortgage rate. Let's say there is no dip in mortgage rate. Do you suggest people, let's say I'm at 4.0 and like, you know what, I'm refinance, I'm going to go to 4.1, but I'm still saving $400 a month. What is your take on, you know, that? Because the interest rate hasn't changed at all, or it might have gone up, but I've gotten so much equity in the house, my payment is still going to go down. What is your approach on someone looking at that kind of scenario?
Yeah, so that's a layered question, so I want to make sure it that is. I cover every layer. So bear with me, okay? No, please don't be sorry. But first things first, it's more advantageous if the interest rate has gone down.
Okay.
I would say it's worth it if the interest rate dropped 0.5% or more. So let's say you're at a 4%. Take a really good look at it. If it's 3.5 or lower,
okay,
you'll end up saving more money that way. And, you know, it'll be worth, if you will, any money that you put up front. You know, you'll be able to recoup that in lesser time than if you kept the same interest rate. Okay. However, if you decided to refinance at the same interest rate, it's not necessarily that it's always a bad thing, because your payment could potentially still be lower, and that may free you up to do some things. The key is, I don't assume that if it doesn't meet these particular checkpoints, then it's not right for you. Everybody's situation is different. If there is opportunity for you to refinance and you find that the interest rate is lower, and based on the good faith estimate, you'll save, you know, all these hundreds of dollars, you know, then go for it. But if you feel that it's not worth it and that you won't recoup, you know, the money that you put up front, you know, in, you know, 2 or 3 years, then let it go and figure out other ways. But, you know, refinancing a home is always a good opportunity to save, you know, potentially a large amount of money on a monthly basis. So it's always worth looking into it. It doesn't cost you anything to look into it and for the mortgage company to give you good information.
So in this case, when you're talking about refinances, you know, I love the point you're giving someone a numerical number, 0.5, you know, and also you different avenues. I know a lot of times when people look at refinancing, it's because they're struggling in areas of just, I want to have a lower payment, I want to be able to pay the bills. When doing that, what are your suggestions before they make that final decision? Because if I'm struggling with paying the bills, what should they look at first before they make that decision, you know? Planning, or I mean, what should be the trigger to say, hey, I want to make this decision, I want to make sure I'm leading into the right decision? Because, you know, a lot of times we make decisions and we really don't have a plan in place. We just know I'm going to save money, but I'm going to go out and blow this $300 I just
saved. That's exactly the point.
So
that's exactly the point.
Give some advice on before and after.
I always tell clients, again, when I say clients, I mean people who pay for my advice. I always tell clients that if you're going to do anything in a money-saving mechanism, have a plan before you put a dime in it. Okay. So let's say you decided to refinance your home and it dropped 0.5% and you're saving, say, $300 a month. That $300 that you just saved a month is not so you can go out and brag and go buy a new car and X, Y, and Z. It is to start funding your future. Any money that is saved is to be redirected towards your future, towards your children's future, towards towards life insurance for after you're gone. Okay. Those dollars are to be redirected. So if you save $300 and you don't have enough life insurance to make sure that there's enough money that when you pass away to pass along to your family to pay for said mortgage, what did you really do? Because your family still needs a roof over their head if you're here or not. Right. They still deserve that. You know, or what if this is extra money that you could put in your employer sponsored plan at work? Or what if this is an opportunity for you to start paying a little bit more off of other debt? Or what if this is an opportunity to put more towards, you know, other debt like credit card or going ahead and paying off your car? There there's so many opportunities that that extra money could be used for. What if you don't have enough in emergency savings? And when I say enough, that means at least 3 to 6 months worth of expenses. That's an opportunity for you to start building that. So it's not, I'm going to save this $300 and I'm chilling and I'm going, you know, to Ruth's Chris every weekend. That's not it. The key is making sure that you redirect those dollars toward your future.
Okay, that is great. I love what you're saying. So how does someone who's, let's say, I'm going to be devil's advocate, you know, so I hope I'm not offending anybody, who's not as educated and as well versus you, what should we be paying to in the news, in the marketplace? What should say, hey, like when you're talking about raising the interest rates, what does that mean to an everyday person? What does that mean to like, oh, we're going to raise interest rate. How does that impact the loan rates and stuff like that? What's the impact when we hear that? Should we run into the office and say, I want to resign now? So we just sit back and say, let me wait for a few more months and see this thing shift some more. What are we listening for?
So when the economists start speaking about raising interest rates, the biggest thing that a layperson should know is they're about to make me spend more money. That basically means if you're going to go buy a new car, you're going to pay more for that new car than you would have before the interest rate increased. Okay. If you're going to purchase a new home, same thing. If you're going to get a new credit card, your interest rate will be higher than it was before these talks began. So anytime they start talking that mess, you're going to experience more money coming out of your pocket. This is why people always say, make sure your credit is good all the time. Because regardless of what they're talking about, you're not going to pay more than the next guy because your credit is straight and you'll always then be offered the lowest interest rate available. And I'd rather you experience and enjoy having a lower interest rate because your credit is good than paying a higher interest rate because you didn't take care of business while things were, you know, going well. Does that make sense?
It does. So I know they have different types of refinancing rates available because a lot of times they say, hey, you can refinance for 30 years. You can refinance for 15 years at a lower interest rate, but your house payment be a lot higher. What is the rule of thumb making that decision as far as 15, 30 years that we should think about?
This is what I say to that. This is probably one of the very few times where I say this rule should apply to everyone. I always say, if you're going to refinance and you want to pay your house off in 15 years, refinance for 30. The reason why I say that is because if you refinance your home for 30 years, your payment theoretically will be lower than if you refinance for 15. Right. What if you lost your job? What if you got injured and you couldn't work, or that pay wasn't as trusted as maybe it once was? What if you're a federal employee and there was a government shutdown and you didn't get paid right away? At least your obligation isn't as high. But now, as when times are good and you've taken care of your savings, you know, for a few months and everything, when times are good, absolutely go ahead and put additional chunks down. Okay. You don't have to wait about that. But at least if you refinance for 30 years, the obligation is lower. What you owe the bank is lower. But you can always, always, always pay extra and make sure when you do, annotate in writing that you want the extra payments to go to principal only. That way your interest charges will be less than if you didn't do that. Another note with that is to remember, when you're making these extra payments, to them and you need that money back, you can't recall that money back. They're gonna say you're bad. So be careful when you make those extra payments that these are dollars that you didn't need at all. Just remember that.
Right.
So I always say refinance for 30. Make sure you can take care of your obligation, you know, if things go bad.
Right.
And then also make sure that there is no prepayment penalty. Sometimes banks will say, if you pay us off early, we're going to charge you more because they were expecting you to pay 30 years. So they were expecting that interest to be on 30-year schedule, if that makes sense.
Right.
So sometimes they will require that you pay a penalty. So just, you know, just keep those things in mind.
So you mentioned paying. I like your approach because we take the same approach for our cars. We get the longer term, but we always pay it off early.
Yeah.
Come Christmas time, we're like, we're going to make minimum payments and enjoy this the Christmas love bonus for ourselves.
Right.
But I also know that they say making the bi-weekly payments versus the monthly payments means you get an extra, well, you pay twice extra a year, but that combined payment is like making one complete house payment. So in essence,
that's correct.
You can have a built-in extra payment by going bi-weekly. Would you suggest that they should look into that when it comes to trying to refinance or actually buying a home when you're first trying to get a loan?
That method doesn't work for everyone.
Okay.
The reason why I say that is because let's say if you're a government employee, you get paid 26 times a year. That means there are two times in the year your mortgage company will get three checks in 1 month.
Right.
Did you hear what I said?
Yep.
So let's say, I think normally it's either April and October. I think maybe this year was April and October. Federal employees may be paid three times. This April. Let's say federal employees got paid three times this month. Then that means your mortgage, you paid mortgage on the 1st, 15th, and the 30th. So that's three times in 1 month that your mortgage payment went. So that may not work for everybody. Some people may be like, I don't want to give a whole nother two extra payments per year. Now, if you're on a schedule to where you get paid 24 times a month, whether it's the 1st and the 15th or something like that, like military people, then maybe that works, you know? And sometimes that helps lessen the blow of a one-time large mortgage payment on the first. So it really just depends on people's situation, pay schedule, and kind of how they feel about it.
Okay. Basically, look at what works best for you.
Yes.
How many, if you do bi-weekly payments, you know, you may or may not know because I know I'm catching off guard here. How many years does it actually cut off if you do that one extra payment over the course of 30 years?
Yeah. What I'm hearing is on average, you cut off 7 years by making bi-weekly payments.
Wow.
That's on average.
Right.
So, and that's just you paying your mortgage two times a month versus once, because what happens is the interest is not building up as fast. You're kind of taking care of the interest during the month instead of waiting for the interest to build for you a whole 30 days.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh yeah, it does.
Okay.
It does. It's kind of like if you do that way, it's kind of like it's automatic, you know, in a sense, versus you having to intentionally go in there and say, make an extra payment.
Yeah.
To me, it feels like I'm actually applying more than it's just, you know, I'm going to say, oh, I got to pay an extra 500 or an extra 1,000. To me, just how I'm thinking, my mindset is like saying, man, it's $500 more. But if it's every 2 weeks, it's like it's just routine. So I'm not missing the money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So to me, it's just a mental thing. It's just a mental thing. I'm
giving
the bank $500 more. Right. If it's automated, it's no big deal. It's the same 500. Right. It's just the way my mind works.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. So it's a mental game. It's a mental exercise about how people feel about it. For me, I couldn't care less if it's biweekly because I know June 30th and December 30th, I'm going to the bank anyway. So I had it scheduled when I was paying mortgage. I had it scheduled to where, you know, I knew every half of the year, I was going over to my mortgage company and I was paying it anyway. So for me, biweekly thing didn't matter because I was going to make that mortgage payment on my calendar. That made sense.
Yeah, you hear what she said? Mm-hmm. When she was going.
Yes.
Past tense. Now that she is going, what does that say, y'all? Somebody talk about they debt free. Can I hear it?
Yes.
Come on now. listen to the language, people. Listen to the language.
Yeah, you heard right. You heard right.
My pastor said, you know, if you want to do something good, give it to people who's already done it before. You know,
there you go.
you don't want to go to somebody who's broke.
No.
Well, you are knowledge. You're not broke. You've gone through it. You shared your good times and your bad times.
Absolutely.
So you're speaking from complete wisdom. You know,
yes.
You support your wisdom with knowledge and education, not just the girl on the block saying, yo, last time I did X, Y, and Z. You're speaking from experience and you have that book skill. So I think that goes a long way with your knowledge of the world also.
So you heard that when I was paying and working.
Yeah, I heard it. Oh, I heard it.
I caught that, sister. Yeah,
that's why I'm emphasizing the word was. Listen to what she's saying, y'all.
Yes. We are very excited to share that we paid off our mortgage March 31st, 2021.
Mm.
So we have been mortgage debt free for over a year. Unexplainable. You know, I remember to say the least, I remember when we were making a big deal about paying off our cars.
Right.
My husband and I, that was a celebration in itself to pay, you know, to have, you know, $400 or $500, you know, back in your pocket, you know, per month, you know, and we would really celebrate. And after my husband and I first got married, I had a car payment. He had a car payment. We vowed to never be a two car payment family again.
Wow.
We were married a year and 10 months. I paid my car off. And 8 months later, we paid his car off.
Wow.
And we were a no car payment family until our son became of age to where we felt as new parents, we needed a three row vehicle.
Trust me, I understand that.
When you're a new parent, you're like, oh my gosh, and I don't want anyone to even touch our vehicle when our kid is in it. Mm. You know, anyway, but we vowed, and then we only, you know, got one car. And so every time we decided to get another vehicle, it was only one of us that was going to pay. But I mean, we haven't had a car payment at all in years. And now we are proud to say that we don't pay a mortgage either. So it feels incredible. Mm-hmm. Incredible. I mean, you don't have a loan anymore to where the taxes and the homeowner's insurance is coming out. That's now our responsibility. We're responsible for that. That's right. So they bill us directly. So that was new. But you know, I thank God for that, because I mean, to not have a mortgage payment forever, you know, says that our son will always have a home.
Yeah.
When we're dead and gone, our son will always have a home. And that's what this is about. So when we're talking about refinancing, this is just, again, remember, I told y'all I refinanced twice on the home.
Right,
so this was just a stepping stone for us to get to the point where we can. If we stayed with that higher mortgage, there's no way we would have been in a position to, you know, not have a mortgage. There's no way. So I want to make sure that people understand, when you're looking at refinancing a house, this is a strategy. Just like I said, we don't, and to your point, Elroy, you don't go in this just to blow. You go in it to have a plan. Mm. And believe in me, my husband and I had a plan, and we stuck to it, clearly.
Mm. Yeah, you're not the norm. You're breaking the mold here. Yeah.
And both of us are under 50.
Wow. Wow.
We're still in our 40s. We're mid 40s, but both of us are in our 40s. And we have a home in Northern Virginia. So, you know, these homes ain't cheap up here.
Yeah. You said two things here I want to emphasize on. One is, first of all, several things. You're young. That's good. Congratulations for that. That's impressive. Another thing you said that I think a lot of people, they need to also hear, is that once you pay off your home, you are now responsible for that.
Yes. Oh, and guess what? And don't pay your taxes if you want to. Then you people can still come for your house.
Well, Lord.
So let's remember when our ancestors owned property and the ancestors before us, after them, let the property go because they couldn't pay taxes.
Taxes. Wow.
That's what got us in these troubles. Not because there's a mortgage payment. It was the taxes. So that's a great point.
What do you do? I mean, you pay off your house. And even though you have this extra money, what is your suggestions? You know, you refinance and now the house is paid off. You don't pay off your car because you're using that money to pay off other bills and you're snowballing everything. Everything's snowballing now, right?
Everything. Yes. So it's an avalanche.
What do you suggest to people? I like an avalanche when it's money, but I'll tell you. Mm-hmm. What do you suggest that someone do to pay off, to get that insurance, their homeowner's insurance, and the escrow stuff paid for? What should they be doing once the house is paid for? So it's no surprises.
Yeah. So it's a communication game. So you need to let your homeowner's insurance and let your county know, this is my expectation. We're going to go pay off our house on this date. This is our expectation. Mm-hmm. What do you need from us? Mm-hmm. Let's be proactive here. In our case, what they let us know was, we need to make sure that your contact information is updated. Okay. Because remember, they've been billing the mortgage company. They haven't been billing us, right? So they don't know if our stuff was updated or not.
So
we want to make sure that they had our contact information. And then they were then able to let us know when we could expect our first bill. Because when you pay off your home, there's some escrow money that may be left over, or there may be a bill coming up.
Okay.
You know, because your taxes and your homeowners only go out a couple of times a year. That escrow is only sitting in there until the bill is due, if that makes sense.
Right.
So they're able to tell you kind of what your new billing schedule is, because now it's yours. So what's your billing schedule? They will allow you an opportunity, at least the homeowner's insurance will allow you an opportunity to pay the whole year now, or wait and be billed monthly. Sometimes it's less expensive to be billed annually than monthly. Totally up to you how you want to handle it, as long as the bill is paid.
And then from
a taxes perspective, be proactive with your county and let them know that you will not be billed, county. You won't be billing the mortgage company anymore. I want you to bill X, Y, and Z. And in both cases, make sure they have your account information on file if possible. If you're able to, go ahead and log on, to the organization, and you may be able to pay your bill right online. So communication is going to be key once you are no longer a lender. You're no longer a borrower. You're a lender. So, communication is key.
Yeah, because you want somebody to say, well, we got the mail, but since we're not paying it anymore, we just threw it in the trash can.
Right,
We live a good life for 2 years, and somebody come out and say, what's this tape around my house that says do not enter?
Yes, the sheriff will come get you.
Yeah, exactly.
The sheriff will come get you, and they will come for your house. And then now you clutching your pearls talking about, excuse me, this is my house. No, because you weren't paying.
Else.
Yes, so always be aware of that tax situation, and always stay on top of it. These are not bills that should come as a surprise to you. You should always plan for your taxes, especially when you are no longer a mortgage lender. You should always have tax money ready, available, because if you do not, they have ownership of your home, and you don't want, something as small as taxes to hinder you from a generational wealth that we all talk about.
Right. Well, this has been a great session. Robin, you want to give a summary?
It just goes back to planning. When you pay off your house, have plans for that money. So you need to be setting aside money for your taxes, setting aside money for your homeowner's insurance. Don't take all that money every month and just blow it. You need to be setting, have a plan to set that money aside so you can pay those bills.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. And two things I took from this. Always think legacy when you're thinking of your finances, because that's a legacy move. always think legacy, how you can leave something for your kids and your grandkids. Yep. And the second thing I took from that is please keep your credit A1.
Mm-hmm.
Because you cannot do any of these moves without having good credit.
Facts.
So, she's not talking about the A1 salt. She's talking about A1 credit.
Yeah. So some people think once I repair my credit, I'm good. No. Right. Having your credit repaired is a lifestyle change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is doing your credit, it is never a one-time good deal. That is a lifestyle change. That means you're not running up your credit card once everything is paid off. That means you're keeping it at zero. I'm not saying that you can't use it. But like what I do every month, it zeroes out every single month because I can afford that monthly bill. If I can't afford that monthly bill, I cannot afford what I'm about to put on this credit card. And I'm like, well, I already got it in my checking account. It is what it is.
That's right. I totally agree.
Because we know you love to travel, girl. We know you love to travel.
Listen, okay? And I'll be hitting these streets this summer. We outside. You hear me?
But look, when you ain't got no car payment, you ain't got no house payment.
Listen.
You living that life, you can do all that. Because you got accounts set aside just for that. I already know. So
Yeah, you know what? Matter of fact, it's called the vacation fund. Exactly.
See? I already know. All the conversations we had. I know how you living already.
And we keep money in there just in case we want to do a daycation. Matter of fact, my husband and I have a date. We have a date day on the 11th of May. So, yes, we are playing hooky from work, and we're going to have a date day, and we're going somewhere nice and expensive.
Okay, now.
I heard that. Right. I like that.
Okay, all right. Look, give me ideas. Give me ideas.
You whisk her away. You whisk her away on a weekday? Child, please. It's gonna be the weekend when you get home.
Y'all hear that? Men, do y'all hear that? That's some real tea right there. That's some real tea.
That's that real sweet tea.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
That diabetes right there.
You got me shivering over here. Look, I got my pen picking out a date right now.
Yes.
All right. But Tina, you want to give us your stats, you know, your information out there, even though it's going to be posted on Podbean, the website. We also like to give people who may not check the website a chance to write it down with a pen and pencil, pen and paper. You know, you can go for it now, man.
Absolutely. And thank you again, guys. So,
thank you.
Yes. My website, as always, is thefinancialt.org. That is thefinancialt.org. From there, you can always connect with me. You can find out how to hire us as your financial coaching firm. You can also learn more about getting my book, which is called It's Your Turn, Walk in Your Financial Purchase. We also have merch up there. So if you want your Make Dollars Make Sense tea, all you got to do is order it. So that's how you can get in touch with the financial tea. You can hit me up on Twitter and Facebook, which is at the Financial Tea, and also the Gram, which is at the_financial_tea. And I think that might be it.
All right. I know we got somebody on call, Power J. Power J, if you have any questions, you can always type your questions in the text box, and she definitely can answer those questions, because you notice she said she charged you everything. So if you want to get anything free, you might be the chance to
get it. This is it.
Yeah. But I do want to say we have done, I think this is probably the ninth. This is probably the ninth series that we have done with you. So we begin to post. Yes.
No, it's more than that. We have more than that. We have about at least 12, 13.
Oh, what? So I know we're beginning to do a series. We're beginning to do a series with just you back to back to back to back. We call it our Robin, the Tina Smith series. So it's always just you for like several months in a row, just so you know. So you're the premier host on our repeat.
Thank you, guys.
Oh no, man, shoot, you've been informative.
Just so you guys know how much I love and appreciate working with you guys. You are the only. When I say only, well, no, outside the White House, you're the only. agency that gets my time for free. The White House. I was happy to give President Biden's staff some sweet tea. Yes. Wow. Yes. Wow. But everybody else, boo, you got to pay.
We appreciate you. That's why we promote you as much as we can.
Yes, thank you.
We refer people to you as much as we can. Very highly of you, you know, because you're the can-do woman for you. That's all I can talk about, you know. If you can do it, if Tina can do it, so can you.
Thank you.
If I may, one last
shout out, please.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. If you are in NYC, in Brooklyn, I'm coming actually to your town. Okay. Now, I've been invited to the ESPNW Summit. So this is basically women's in sports, if you will. So if you know me, you know how much I am a football fanatic. And I love basketball too, but it's not football season. However, I'm on a whirlwind so that I can get into the sports industry to help athletes.
Ooh.
Mm. So yes, NFL, NBA, WNBA, NHL, MLB, soccer,
girl,
you name it. Race car, NASCAR, golf.
I love NASCAR now.
Really? That's going to be good.
That's my, yes. Well, yes. Well, Tina, anytime you want to be one of your special stars on our show, you're more than welcome.
Thank you. I am venturing into the sports world to help athletes. These young people need so much help. They get a lot of money, but not a good, objective, licensed person in their ear that's been where they're at and know how to help them live after the final whistle blows.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that.
Truly agree.
I hear a phrase right there, after the final whistle blows. That's a book right there, Tina. That's a phrase. You better capture that.
It's on the business card I'll be taking to Brooklyn.
See? It makes sense to me. See? I heard it. I was like, man, that's a phrase right there. So
it must
work because I like it. Well, here's our information. We are, Robin and myself, we are Gifted Generations. We have a website. It's Gifted, that's G-I-F-T-E-D, generations-llc.com. Please don't forget that dash, because if you do forget that dash, I can't tell you what you're going to pull up. We are also on Facebook. We are Gifted Gen LLC, that's G-I-F-T-E-D-G-E-N-L-L-C. And of course, as Tina said, we're on the gram. We are GIF, GIF.GEN. And of course, on YouTube, you can search for Gifted Generations LLC. You know, what our goal is just like Tina's, we want to help improve lives by improving one's finance. So we remove the stress of everyday financial management. You know, she is definitely a certified person. We start with the basics. And then once we're doing the basics, we ship you off to Tina. So it's kind of like a assembly line, you know, type thing. So just continue to listen to us for repeats that we have going on. You know, we thank you for listening right now. So I'm going to give my wife the last word. She is the IT. She is the graphics. She is the poster. She is the do-all woman. That's my wife, Robin Sickers, y'all.
Well, everyone, thank you for joining us. And Miss Tina, thank you.
Yes, we truly
appreciate you.
All right. That does it. Thank you, Tina. Appreciate you.
Well, thank you for tuning in to our podcast, Financeology 101. I hope you enjoyed this session and the information provided will assist you on your financial journey. Until next time, be financially engaged.